Welcome to the newest Ferris Love podcast, Single, Not Stalled, Pursuing Sanctity in Your Singleness. This podcast is for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether it's by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season rich with purpose, growth, and grace. Join your hosts, Monica and Katie Hinderer, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives, as we dive into conversations about faith, friendship, personal growth, and finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together. Hello, Monica.
Hey, Katie.
We're in the same space.
We are.
Which doesn't happen that often.
Rare occurrence for us.
But we've been spending a lot of time together.
A lot.
We're on day, what, like 28 together of being together together.
Yeah, I think probably we were joking about this, that Katie is just a little bit older than me. So
10 years.
We really didn't grow up together,
right?
In the sense of, you know, Katie went away to college when I was only, you know, 8 years old.
Seven. Actually, eight. Like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Because I was 17 when I went to college. And
yeah, so about 6 or 7.
So yeah, you were probably 7 when I left.
So we haven't really spent this, we haven't like lived together, spent this much time together in since then.
Yeah, kind of weird.
But it works. It's cool.
Yeah, because we were together in Nashville for Christmas and our brother's transitional diaconate ordination. Then together we drove out to Seek and did Seek, but then we also got in some hiking. We stayed in a yurt. We've been having a great time. And now she's staying with me a couple more days in St. Louis before she goes to a conference in Mississippi. Yeah. So it'll be almost 5 weeks of togetherness by the time she leaves.
No, it's been good. So as always, we kick our episodes off with the joy from the week. So you want to start?
Sure. I had a lot, but I was actually thinking about this morning. And I actually think the joy I'm going to pick for this week is line dancing with a bunch of friends on Friday night.
Okay.
We went, we've got a friend who really, really loves line dancing. And she texted me and was like, do you want to go? And I was like, sure. And so we went and like, I think I knew 5 of the dances or 4 of the dances,
yeah.
But we went. We had a good time. Line dancing's fun.
Yeah, I was totally out of my element. It was the first time I think I had ever gone actually like to a line dancing event. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to like know what you're doing. So we were joking that we should be like YouTubing how to do this or going to some of the classes, but it was like such a fun vibe. And then there was a little bit of like country swing mixed in there. And I was like, oh, this is intriguing. Tell me more. It has not been like a thing that I've ever done. So it was a cool experience.
Yeah. And it was kind of fun. Cause like we went on a Friday night, but it was just like line dancing. So it was just chill. It wasn't like your classic, like club scene or whatever.
No, I was actually surprised at how like little alcohol there was.
Yeah. Like most like, people weren't drinking. No one had drinks on the dance floor at all.
Yeah. That was
But like, I mean, we stayed till 11 and like everybody was having fun. It was fun.
Yeah,
so that's kind of, I'm going to go with that as my joy
that.
For the week. Cause it was just, it was fun. I love line dancing.
Yeah.
So
that's cool. My joy is that 2 of my very, very, very dear friends had babies this week. And so that has been like a joy to see them like step into motherhood, especially I've known these girls. I mean, one of them I've known for like nearly 20 years, like good friends for nearly 20 years. So it's really amazing to journey with someone through their whole life and to see them step into these new.
Right. And for both of them, it's their first. So that's also like a huge
watching
transition
them become
to
a
watch
mom for the first time and like the joys and sorrows that come with that. And so, and just healthy deliveries, which is the ideal, right? That's the goal. So,
well, and they gave birth on the same day, one to a boy, one to a girl. So, you know, that's fun.
I was like, of course, this is of course. They're both, yeah, anyways, it's incredible. So that's absolutely my joys for the week.
Okay. I love it. And last episode, we talked about work and the kind of thing that we had tasked ourselves with at the end was to think of like, what are little ways we can incorporate our Lord a little bit more into our work day and that kind of a thing. I had shared last episode that like I like to say a glory be before I send off a proposal, and actually this past week I was thinking about it again because I had a bunch of different discovery calls and I sent off 3 different proposals to people who might want to work with us, and so it was just another reminder of like, okay, like I gotta say that glory be before I send that email and then you send it off. But did you think of anything new?
Yeah, I decided to, and I didn't always remember it right away, but I decided to greet my client's guardian angel.
Oh, I love that.
And I will say the shift for me became like there was a little bit more of a spiritual perspective. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't alone in trying to navigate what this client was going through. Like there was someone, something there with me, right? Like kind of like on my side, like nudging them, encouraging them, giving me insights, giving them insight, right? Like there's opening that door, right? And my clients have no idea that I did that. Right. It's not like I announced it, but I felt it shifted my perspective at the very least. Yeah. And so I thought like, gosh, like that's such a good thing to remember if I can remember it, you know? So sometimes it would be like halfway through the session and I was like, oh, right. Hello. Like, hey, you know? So anyways, it's just a little idea.
That's a good one. This past week, Monica has been working out of my office because she needs a little bit more privacy to see her clients than I need. So I've been working out of my dining room, off my dining room table. And for me too, I had gotten at Seek a little prayer card of St. Catherine of Siena, who's we decided was going to be our patron for this year of the podcast, but she's also just my patron in general. So I also kind of had her there with me, which helped me just kind of be like, okay, like asking her for help, asking her to like keep redirecting me to our Lord and that kind of a thing. So, you know, it can be really easy, you know, to just have something like that, like a tiny prayer card or a little thing, a tiny saint, you know, whatever it is nearby that's like discreet, but still can help kind of, you know, focus us.
I literally think we have one in this room.
Yeah, yeah. But this is St. Catherine Laboure, not St. Catherine of Siena, but
it's a Catherine.
I know. Well, you know, people give me all the tiny saints.
All the Catherines.
I might own several.
Amazing. Okay. So. We're diving into today's topic.
Yes.
Which is?
I'm actually really excited about this because, so while we were in Utah, we were staying in a yurt a little bit afterwards to kind of rest from Seek and like recover and then do some hiking and whatever. And we watched a new podcast on Netflix called Don't Die.
We didn't watch a podcast.
We watched a documentary. Sorry. We watched a documentary.
Love it. But we're all about the podcast too. We did start some podcasts. This is beyond the point.
Beside the point.
The documentary is Don't Die.
Yes.
Which?
And it's about this millionaire, billionaire, whatever.
He has to be
billionaire. Yeah, he's definitely a billionaire because he spends over $2 million a year on coming up with procedures and protocols to live by and to do so that he doesn't die ever.
He believes that we don't die or that we're not like...
he believes that like the only reason
it's avoidable.
The only reason we die is because we haven't quite figured out how to extend our lives forever because we like don't listen to our bodies and we don't feed our bodies the right things and we don't, you know, whatever, go through the right. It's crazy. I think it's crazy.
I have so many. I mean, it's, yeah, to me, it's really sad, actually. I think like this is what happens when you like live a life so far from God, right? Because when he said we haven't yet found a way to live forever, I was like, but we have. What do you mean? Like, there is eternal life and there is an eternity.
Right.
And so it is really interesting how one's religious perspective changes the whole game.
Yeah, shifts it totally. Mm-hmm. I know. And it was like, I had like watched the documentary. It's actually pretty fascinating if you're interested in things like this. But I also found it just incredibly sad because it's clear that all this man has is this life. Like, this life, this world that he's in right now. And, you know, like, he is thinking kind of a bigger picture in the sense of, like, he also wants to figure out a way to have everybody live forever. Like, he's not just necessarily, like, I want to live forever and all the rest of you, like, whatever. But at the same time, he's not funding a lot of research.
He is the research.
That he could be helping fund.
Right.
And they kind of point that out in the documentary, that he could be spending some of his millions to fund big research projects on, you know, various things. And he doesn't. He and himself is the research project. And it's really fascinating. Like, he's in his, I forget, his name is Brian Johnson. He's probably in his late 50s, early 60s. But he looks weirdly young and yet old.
Yeah, there's something a little unsettling about that, his appearance. Yeah. But
like, he's buff. Like, he definitely works out. But he's like lean buff, like works out. But like, he doesn't have wrinkles, like, anywhere.
Well, he also does Botox.
But he does Botox.
So there's a lot to be said here, right? But I think that what the documentary, it just, I think, highlights an aspect of our society with this longevity movement yep. of like do all of these things to live as absolutely long as possible. And I'm like, oh mm-hmm. God, why?
Yeah.
Like, please, no, I don't really want to.
Well, and I think, you know what, it's interesting. Like we watched the documentary and like I had actually heard about him before and I kind of deep dove into him previously. Cause I'm just kind of, I'm fascinated by all these kinds of things. Yeah. But afterwards I was like praying a lot about it. Cause I was like, I don't know. I feel like we can often, like in the Catholic faith, we can kind of walk this fine line of like, it is really good to care for this body that we have, right? That we're not just a soul who's just, you know, like infused into a body. Like we are body and soul. Like that is who we are. And like in the resurrection of life, like we get our body back, right? Mm-hmm. So like our body isn't just like a throwaway thing. Like that was an old heresy, in fact. So like it is really good to fuel ourselves properly, to get enough sleep, to not drink that much alcohol, to not drink that much caffeine, like whatever, right? To take care of ourselves in that way. And yet at the same time, the goal is never to not die because we know ultimately like death is life.
Right. And I mean, we nourish our bodies because they were given to us by God to be cared for. Like we are mm-hmm. stewards of our body just as we are of the earth. And so we don't care for ourselves to avoid death. We care for ourselves because this was entrusted to us mm-hmm, by God. Mm-hmm. And as such, we care for that. And I think it's just really interesting that people are so kind of caught. The longevity movement feels just like another rat race.
Yeah.
Where that you get caught up in. And you lose, and not even necessarily like in a bad way. Like, I don't think any of these people are bad. I don't think they have bad intentions. I think that they're trying so hard. One, I think this Brian guy, Don't Die, his whole movement, I think he's trying to create meaning in life.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
I think he's trying to create meaning. And I think that that is a really beautiful thing that we all have to move to.
Sure.
In the documentary, he explains that he was previously very depressed and had some really dark thoughts. And I'm sure some of our listeners can really resonate with mm-hmm. that there are seasons Absolutely. Of our life that are so difficult and we feel so low that we mm-hmm. don't understand what the point is.
When he like, yeah, and he went through all that, also left his wife, left his religion, became a millionaire kind of all around the same time, right? And like had this like for him kind of reawakening and then suddenly he was like, I don't want to die. Like I want to live forever and I want to figure out how to live forever. And like, I want to live like with my, he's really close to his one son. And he like wants to like be there through every stage of his son's life, which, you know, at first, like to hear that, like, that's great, right? Like you want to see your son or your daughter get married, have kids, be a dad for the first time.
That's even like, part of the wedding mass is that hopefully you live a life and that you are blessed to see your children's children.
Yeah.
Right. There is something to be said about this blessing that to journey with someone, to be in a relationship, to have family, to do that is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. So it's just, I think it's just a really interesting thing to like think and pray a lot about because this life is not all that it is, not everything. But at the same time, like we want to preserve our life so that we have many good, fruitful years here on earth, that we can bring more people to our Lord, that we can bring more people to heaven, right? We can make heaven crowded by the people we're going to bring along with us on this journey. So it's this, like, we walk this kind of fine line of like, yeah, we do want to live long, prosperous, fruitful lives, but we don't want to be so obsessed with that we're like, I got to look young forever. I got to live forever, yeah. You know?
And I think each of us could probably think about, and this is an interesting kind of mental exercise, that I think it is so easy to, in the pursuit of something good, lose sight of the ultimate good, you know? And so everything we do should be oriented towards the ultimate good, right? Towards loving, knowing, serving, honoring our Lord. And so anything that starts to detract from that, or we start to lose focus because we become so enveloped in it, is disordered. And so it's a reality check almost, like kind of this litmus test of, you know, are there beliefs that I hold that say like, that are similar to like, don't die, like, you know, pursue this at all costs. And so, because I think some people even do that. I was listening to this podcast where, you know, anyways, this woman was talking about how in the pursuit of like physically feeling better, she had a chronic or like a chronic illness or like an accident that left her in chronic pain, and had started getting into yoga because it was like really relieving some of the pains and stresses stuff like that. But like in pursuit of that and in pursuit of community, she started going to like yoga instead of going to church. Mm-hmm. She lost sight of it. We can so easily lose our focus, and it doesn't always come from a bad point or a bad start. It comes from a good place that starts to kind of become disordered because we lose sight of God, right? Like our eyes become unfocused. And so I think what was interesting is at Seek, Arthur Brooks spoke. And
he's great.
He was great. But in summation, one of the things he talks about is you have to find meaning and purpose in life. And so two questions to help you get there are going to be, what do I live for?
For what was I made?
For what was I made?
That's the question he always asks. For what was I made? What do I live for? But like, for what? I think especially for us as Catholics, right, as Christians, to think like, okay, like, there is a reason I am here right now in the beginning of 2025 and existing on the earth today. For what is that purpose? Like, for what am I here for?
And then for what would I die?
And then, for what would I die?
And I think that...
What or who?
Right. Yeah. And I think that this documentary, what I kind of noticed was this guy was really depressed until he felt like he had an answer to those two questions, right? And it's not for what would I die. It's like, No, for what? He wouldn't die for anything.
Right.
Right. And so it's like, so he's take still that out kind of the equation. But he gave himself meaning in life. And I think that like that is the takeaway, that we all need to find meaning.
Yeah, he definitely, I feel like, has meaning and purpose now. But it doesn't seem like to me he has anything he will die for. Like, because not even his son. Like, he's super close to his son, but he wasn't like...
Oh, that would have been such an interesting question.
Like, I would die for my son.
As the people were interviewing him.
Yeah, that would have been really
interesting. Oh, I would have loved for someone to say, would you die for him? Since he's... Wow. Anyways. No one asked us, but...
They should have. But I do think... Yeah. Like, I mean, those are really good questions to ask. Like, again, great to take to your prayer. I think Arthur Brooks had a great point with asking those two questions, right? Like, for what were you made, right? And then for what would you die?
And those are questions that we wrestle with. Those aren't questions that we inherently know. Like, those are questions that we have to wrestle with, that we have to bring to God, that we have to pray about, that we have to nurture to find that point for us. And it's going to be a little bit different for everybody. Mm-hmm. But I think that I say that because... It could feel maybe discouraging to those listening who say, I don't know. I don't feel like I have anything. And and that's not a point of discouragement. That's a point of opportunity and growth.
Well, that's what he even said.
I have the opportunity to create meaning and to find that in my life. Mm-hmm. I have the potential to do those things. And I think one of the traps for a situationally single person is to delay that meaning making for when
you're like, I'll die
in relationship
or
I'm in like, well, I was made to be da 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 or have a family or so forth. And the reality is the meaning has to be created now.
Right.
Like God didn't create you to delay you. Right. And so we create that meaning. It doesn't mean that the meaning can't change, right? Like, I live or die for something now, and then one day, God willing, if I have a family, that will shift, and it's okay.
Yeah, I think, or you would add things to that list that you would die for, right? And, like, that you were made for. But right now, like, you can still have an answer to it, right? As situationally single, and I think, obviously, for those who are vocationally single, like, we have a lot... Hopefully. But we were like, we would die for, right? Like our family life or our community, right? I think for the organization, like for me, like I think, hopefully. Sometimes you think of it and you're like, I think I would die for this. But then if push comes to shove, right? But like, yeah, I think I would die, you know, for Opus Dei and like for that kind of message and like for my sisters and the work and Opus Dei and like obviously for my family. Like, you know, you start thinking about all those things, but like, those things will also change and they'll shift. Maybe more people will come into your life or you get married or whatever. Yeah. And then you're like, okay, like I'm adding to my list of people that I would.
And I think that there's a temptation for those who are vocationally single, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I was thinking about this as you were talking, that it could be easy to say, to answer what was I made for with general, like I was made for, so Opus Dei's message is like sanctity and ordinary life. I was made for that. Well, like, No, be more specific, because like God chose you for your specific gifts, talents, traits, like those specific things that only you can do in your current situation in life. And so we want to be careful not to just like generalize these things. Like this is something like so unique and special to you. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, what about in the way in which I was created?
Yeah, I think this is a little bit like when Arthur Brooks asked, I've heard him give this talk twice. So I've already thought about it a little bit, like for what was I made? But that question to me is a little bit like Simon Sinek's Find Your Why. Mm. If you haven't read that book, awesome book, but it's really like, it's really helping you kind of find your purpose, your meaning in life. And so like, when I heard that again at Seek, Arthur Brooks talking about like, okay, like for what were you made? For me, I like to think, like, I often say that I think like I was made to like to communicate creatively so that people understand that they are needed, that they are loved, and that they are, you know, like to kind of create community through creative communication, if that makes sense. And like, and then I think I manifest, that's not the right word, but like I bring that into existence to a certain extent, like through the business that I run, right? Through the friendships that I have, through, you know, those kinds of things, through my vocation and what I do as part of my vocation and that kind of a thing.
Yeah. Cause I think when you can get that specific, right, we want to be careful not to like fall into groupthink, which is like easy, right? When you're kind of in, you know, like, oh, my order is this order and we do this thing.
Yeah. What was I made? To be a teacher, you're like, well.
Right.
But no, like a little more, a little bigger.
And so it's kind of easy also for singles, situationally single, to be like, well, I was made for, and to delay that to like motherhood or family or so forth. But like, even if, God willing, or when you get to that point in life, like there's something specific about you in that state of motherhood that like he's calling you to do in that point. And so we want to be living who we were made to be in any situation and circumstance. And so my external circumstances in life can change from single to dating to engaged to married, but who I am and how I live that, what I was called for, is applicable to each and every stage.
Right.
It's not dependent on the stage.
Right. I think that's so important, because I think we're going to do a whole other episode on this, like not just like waiting and like delaying life, et cetera. But like, I was actually just talking to somebody yesterday whose brother died of leukemia at the age of 33, and he'd been married 1 year. Like, can you imagine his wife, who was like, you know, she probably was like, I was made to get married. Like, and I'm going to have a big family. And like,
devastating.
She lost her husband. They'd been married 1 year. And like, okay, like then what? Right. Like, there's a different plan in place. Obviously, like, God has a plan. Like, there's something else going on, like, whatever. But, you know, so I think, you know, you never know what the plan is. Or you're married. Like, I have two really good friends who have been married, like, 15 years and haven't been able to have kids, you know? And, like, if their whole existence was like, well, like, I'm going to get married and I'm going to be a mom and my identity, right? And, like, what I was made for was to be a mom in the, like, traditional biological sense, right? Well, then what is she? Like, what? What? No, like that it's bigger than that, right? And like, obviously, I mean,
well, that, great. Yeah, but who she is created to be, and I think this is kind of the point, that who we're created to be, we can be that and do that well in any situation in life, as single, as married, as widowed, as vocationally single, as as none, as celibate, as so forth, right? Like, those are just descriptors of our a status or a space we hold in life, like, not, you know, God, there's more depth to who God calls you to be. And so the challenge here is to really kind of think about and develop. And when you can do that, so this is, I think, a really important piece. When we can do that, when we can sit in knowing who I am and what I was created for, it helps me weather the storms. It helps me weather the vocational crises. It helps me weather the situations that I'm in that I don't want to be in. You know, for some of our listeners, they don't want to be single and they want a different status in life.
Sure.
But if I can create my meaning, right? If I can correspond with God in that way, I can find joy and meaning and purpose and happiness, even in situations that are not ideal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it, like, knowing that answer also just gives so much more life or fullness to like all these different things. Even I think our weaknesses, like I was thinking, like, what are things that really frustrate me sometimes? Like, because I really think, like, part of like this, like, what I was made for is like creatively communicating and all of this kind of stuff. Like, poor communication is really hard for me, right? Also, if I find myself like tongue-tied and cannot communicate well with someone, like I feel like I'm trying to say something, they're not hearing what I'm saying. Like, that's very, very difficult for me. And for a while, like I didn't see that in myself, or like I didn't acknowledge it. But then as I like leaned more into this, I was like, okay, like this I think is like a big part of who I am and like the gifts and talents God has given me, right? And then I'm like, oh, like now I understand this better too. Like I understand this relationship. I understand this frustration, you know, or whatever too, which is kind of interesting. The other thing this documentary was really making me think of with this whole idea of don't die is I think he's missing, I think, what we would consider like the ultimate kind of Christian message is like we live for today, right? Like all you have is today. All you have is right now. And like when you watch this video, like it doesn't seem like he lives much in the sense of like he wakes up at 4:30 every day. He immediately goes and exposes himself to like UV rays and like sunlight. And then he takes 40 supplements and then he eats this specific thing at this specific time. And then
sustaining his life. He's not living his life.
And that to me was also like so sad. He goes to bed at 8:30 every night. And I was like, he had a teen, like as they were recording this documentary, he had his senior in high school son living with him. And so it kind of follows them through his kind of senior year. And then when he goes off to college, and I was like, you go to bed at 8:30 with a senior in high school, like living with you. And it's just them, like the mom's not there. None of the other siblings are there because they're all with the mom. And I was like, but what if you just want to waste time with your son and watch a movie? Like you have to do that 4 p.m? Like, are you pulling them out of school? Like, how does that work? Or like, for what? Yeah. I'm like, he wants to prolong his life for so long, but like to do what?
Yeah. And I think that in that, what is true is that, and maybe a point that he's missing, and like, you know, I mean, you only know so much from watching someone's life on the screen, but that our life is meant to be lived and to be loved, like no matter what or when or how. I think that it could be easy to delay that happiness or to delay that effort towards that happiness or to delay living my life to the fullest for when something else happens that I expected, right? So it's like, if you get moved to a city, you're like, well, I don't really like it here. Like, okay, you could delay your life until they move you again. Or you could be like, well, but this is what I have here and now. Yeah. And I'm gonna live my life to the fullest. And I'm going to love my life because, like, this is the life God's given me.
Right.
And so, you know, the same can be said for situationally single individuals, that it's easy to delay certain things or aspects of my life.
Yeah, like one day.
And not actually live each day because I'm afraid or longing or thinking so much in the future or so much in the past and that I forget to live.
Yeah, and like to live today, to sanctify today. Like today is the only day that we know that we have to work towards sanctity, right? To like get to heaven. Like we don't know if we get tomorrow. And maybe I get another 100 years. Dang, I don't know. I really don't hope I live another 100 years. But another 100. I hope I don't live 100 years. But all I know is I've got right now, right? And like, I have to give the most to this moment right now. And I need to be asking myself, like, where does God want me in this exact moment, right? And like, we're recording this on a Sunday. And like, yeah, like, we're going to chill. And it's not that like God wants us like packing our day and like all the things. And like, oh, always like praise and worship and 4 hours of adoration. Like, he does want us to enjoy, to waste time with one another, to, you know.
Yeah, I often say, maybe this is a product of my profession, but like people are never a waste of time.
No.
And I hear this a lot with people like stepping into kind of this dating world and they're like, I need to know. There's this desire to like know if the person is a good person or the right person, or I don't want to waste my time. And I'm like, oh, no. No one is a waste of time, right? That God brings people into our life. We don't get to decide how long they stay. We don't. And so there's something to be learned and to be encountered with each and every person. And like, you don't get to decide that, God does. Right. So, you know, seeing our day to day as just an opportunity to like live our life, to live, right? And to not delay.
Right. And to like live our life for God, right? Like that's what I think it really is. It's like constantly like asking yourself, like, hey, like, where am I meeting God right now in this thing, right? Like, and like, we're meeting God right now, like recording this podcast, and hopefully it's going to reach people and they're going to be like, yeah, like I need to do this, right? And like, And then later we're going to meet God because we're going to have beers and like hang out and like watch a movie. Like that's great too, right? Mm-hmm. And like this morning we went to mass. Like, you know, like all these different things that are all of them are encounters with God. If we choose to bring him into them.
Right.
Right. And that's like this moment is the only moment we know we have. Mm-hmm. And so why not do that and bring our Lord into it? You know?
So I think a really interesting thought exercise, since we always end every episode with, I said homework and Katie was like, I don't like that. So I was like, okay, thought I don't like homework. Exercise.
We're beyond that stage of our lives.
Yeah. So I think a cool thought exercise would be to consider, like, what areas of my life am I delaying and not living?
Yeah, or even as we were watching this movie or documentary, all I could think about is the Tim McGraw song, Live Like You Are Dying, which is going to super date me. But it was making me think, like, this same idea, like, what am I delaying, right? Like, if you knew you were dying in a month, a week, a year, like, what would you do differently? Mm. Like, if you knew you had 1 year to get right with the Lord and do all the things you want to do, how would you do that differently?
I actually did this thought exercise with one of my clients because, in my personal opinion, if you come back from that, if it was like you're going to die in a week, mm-hmm. you're going to die in a year, and you come back to me with a never-ending list of everything you would change in your life, mm-hmm. you're not living well.
No.
You're not living well. Now, that doesn't mean that, like, you know, there are some caveats to that where you're like, well, I only have a year. And so I want to go to like all of the national parks. Like, okay. Like I hear that, but like, if that was something that was like on your heart that like you really want to do, but you continue to delay and delay and delay and delay ever going to any of them or ever saving money to go to them or like whatever your situation or circumstances, I would say you're not living well because we have to live our life. So if you're going to come back to me and say, I would change my whole relationship with God. Yikes.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, to your point, like I bet you most people, if you really like did the thought experiment of like, okay, you have 1 year left. You have 1 year. What are you going to do? I bet you most people aren't coming back and being like, well, most people who are listening to this podcast are not coming back and like, I want to hit every national park. It's like, I want to spend more time with the people that I love. I want to grow closer to Christ. I want to go deeper in this thing and the other. You know, like, hopefully it's that. I think when we truly face death, we're able to better prioritize the things that truly matter. You
know? But I think the point is we should be, if we're living well, we should be prioritizing those things.
Right, which is why we live like we're dying, right? Mm-hmm. Like, instead of living like we're never going to die, like this guy, we're living in the sense of like, we know we're going to die. We're absolutely going to die.
Yeah.
God is the only thing that's not dying. Like, the only thing that's lived forever and will live forever.
Like, I was listening to this interview with this priest, and he was like, you know, if you were told you had 24 hours left and like, what would you do kind of a thing? And he asked these young boys this and like, I don't know, let's say there were 5 young boys. 4 of them were like, can you hear my confession? Like immediately, like, oh God, right?
Yeah.
And the other one was like, I'd go play one last soccer game. And the priest was struck by that. And he was like, you wouldn't like go get right with the Lord and like go to confession and go to mass. He was like, no, I live my life right with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would do I would do one more thing that I love doing, and I love playing soccer. So I'm going to go to the pitch and play. And I think like, if we could only live like that, mm-hmm. where it's like, no, like I'm ready. Like I didn't delay confession. I didn't delay these things that are good for my life. Like, yeah, maybe we like touch. I mean, I would probably touch up one more time depending on when I went last.
Sure. But I think,
but if the sentiment remains of like, I am living right with the Lord, right? And I'm living a good life, that like, I'm okay to go.
Like, I'm ready to go if need be, right? Like, yeah, I think that's kind of one of the cool things. If you watch older people who have like lived their faith really well, like,
there's a peace.
There's so much peace. They're like, I'm ready. Like, I'm ready. Like, it's cool, right? And when they haven't, there's a lot of unrest mm-hmm. that you see. One more thought I had, sorry, about this documentary, and then we'll let you all go because we already gave you the homework. Even though we're not calling it that.
Exercise.
But one other thought I had as I was watching this is, like, what a gift it is to grow old that many people do not get. And, like, the fact that this longevity movement that exists, the, like, the Botox, the all the things to, like, look younger, you know, he wears a hat that makes his hair grow back, like, whatever, right? There's not everyone gets the gift of hitting 70 or 80 or 90. Not everyone gets the gift of having like laugh lines around their face and, you know, that kind of a thing. And so I think like sometimes we need to keep that into perspective when we, especially for us women, right? As we look in the mirror and we're like, oh my gosh, here's another wrinkle. I'm like, oh, my neck, like don't show anyone my neck, right? But then I'm like, no, but like I've lived 40 years and this is great, right? And like, yeah, you can see that, but that's okay, right? That's totally okay. And like, that's good. And like, God has given me 40 years to love and serve him and whatever. And hopefully he's going to give me, I don't know, 40 more. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting old. I mean, in fact, it's like a gift. So I just needed to add that little caveat into this whole conversation.
So we would love to hear from our listeners. So, you know, DM us on Instagram or, you know, send us a quick message of maybe even thinking about, you know, what your thoughts or insights are in the ways in which you're kind of delaying living your life.
And you can find us on Instagram at singlenotstalled. Yeah. You can email us singlenotstalled@gmail.com. Don't get a hold of us either way.
That's it for this week on Single Not Stalled. We hope this episode gave you new insights and a renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are in your journey, remember that God is with you, and this season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you are loving this podcast, please take a moment to rate and review. It helps more women like you find this community. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Join us on social media or shoot us an email. We'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Until next time, keep living fully and walking boldly in faith.